He is Justin Davis, user experience designer and prime puller of Christmas pork.
And he is Aubrey Goodman, iOS dev, web services dev, and as I like to call him this time of year, Santa Services. That is web services.
Again,
I told you it would be a little bit of a reach, but that's okay.
That's all right.
It is the season for all things frivolity, frivolous. Let's say
frivolous,
all
frivolous. Frivolity,
frivolous frivolity. And speaking of, this is that frivolous show that we like to call Distilled. Welcome in.
Yeah, this year has been a pretty crazy year for everybody here at the Wave. It's been amazing. You know, the transformation from this time last year. I think it was right around this time last year that we were moving into this.
It was
space
a little bit after. I think it was the first week of January.
Yeah.
If I recall correctly.
I think that's right. Yeah. I think Linda, like, there was some walkthrough maybe around.
Yeah, there were some walkthroughs and some tours,
you know, late
in
December. And then we started demolitioning things, as it were. That isn't a word, I think. Demolitioning?
Demolitioning. That seems to make sense, yes.
I just remember my dad used to be a contractor for construction, and he said one of his subcontractors came in one time, and he says, "So when are we going to demolition that wall?" And he's like, "So you mean when are we going to demolish the wall?"
That's funny.
Because I guess, man, you know, he was a demolition expert. So
when are we going to demolition this wall? That's awesome. That's about the extent of grammar that I'm able to use as well.
Yeah. We were demolishing or demolitioning, depending on your perspective, the existing hardware and cabinets that smell like maple syrup for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
I don't either. It's very strange. It's either the glue they use or that, you know, the...
Yeah, I'm going to go with the glue that they use.
Glue. Or veneer. Whatever.
But some kind of off gas. There was some... Whatever the hardware that's been here, the cabinetry that's been here for seemingly years. 10 years, maybe? 15?
Yep.
It was... excuse me. Was... you know, still here. And we tore it down, all of it, almost all of it, to make room for our nice, big, beautiful...
It was fun. We had a lot of fun doing that. I mean, there were a lot of late nights, beer and pizza, and everybody just tearing stuff apart.
Oh, and terrible decisions, like, to get that... we got all of them down. Like, there were seven or eight of these, you know, 8-foot tall...
400 900, pounds.
No, they were more than maybe 400 more. Pounds. They're like 800 pounds each.
Horrible.
You know? Like 10 feet long, 8 feet tall.
Oh, God.
And solid, you know, MDF. Medium density
just
fiberboard.
Terrible.
And they, we got all of them down in the normal way by just sort of dismantling everything we could and then pushing them over. But the very last one, I think we had, well, let's just say that we were getting a little creative at that point, and somebody decided that it was a good idea to cut the top off of one with the chop saw. And we're like, wait, but that's all fine until you get to that very last cut. Where the top is free from the bottom, and now it just pinches the saw.
It was
and
terrible.
So we melted a saw.
Oh, God.
And then there was some I told you so's, mostly from me. And
there were a few of those.
I think we still actually... No, we don't have those parts. Like those two, the chopped off piece.
No, it's all gone.
That got taken away maybe a month ago. Mm-hmm. But
I was trying to search through my Gmail to find the date that we moved in, but... it's actually impossible to search by date on the iPad. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to actually search for the phrase new space to see if I'd said anything in an email to somebody like, oh, we're going to the new space.
Yeah.
I actually want to say it was like the third week of January. I think it was January 21st, as I recall, the official
date. I remember getting my keys from my office round about early to mid-January.
Yeah.
I mean, we weren't the official... open house wasn't until March 1st, I think.
Right.
But the Wave Dwellers all got to move in early. And at least those of us who were here to, you know, do the heavy lifting, literally.
Yeah.
And, you know, clean up the place before it was ready for anyone's eyes but ours.
Yeah, it but, is. It's quite amazing to think that a year ago from today, we weren't even in the space. And to think, I mean, it almost feels there's been so much that's happened this year. So much has happened this year that it feels like several years that we've been in here. Which
it's like the presidency. You come in, you stay for a year, and then you have gray hair. There's really no way to avoid it.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. Like, I feel so much older now than I did a year ago. It's unbelievable.
Too.
But wiser, for
and happier
certain.
For
yeah,
me.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm certainly happier now than I was a year ago.
Yeah, that's right.
happier more now than I was a week ago.
But it's really remarkable. And this always happens to me every year around this time, because it's the time to get sentimental and to look back at the year and all that kind of thing. But I always sit here and I'm like, so that much changed this year. Holy shit, what's going to be happening this time next year? Oh my God.
Right. Remember, a year ago, we were talking about the evolution of manufacturing at the eMERGE space before we started using fancy mics.
Yeah, right.
And we're just sitting around on couches with an iPhone talking about, 3D printing a baby.
Yeah, right. And yeah. And now look.
That was a fun episode,
by the
way.
We're 3D printing babies. No.
No, we're almost, though. I mean, the 3D printers have gone from being, even in just a year, they've gone from being a cool thing to talk about that only, technologists sort of knew about.
Yeah.
To now there's national news. They're talking about 3D printing guns and, there's a lot of new manufacturing focus on these things that, we were just sort of willy-nilly talking about a year ago and have talked about, over the past year. And, it's inspiring, I think, for me, and certainly humbling. And I'm very proud of us for predicting the growth and, the continuing upward trend of personal manufacturing and just how manufacturing and industry is changing in the 21st century.
I think, though, when you look back at this year, one of the biggest winners for obscurity to popularity in the course of a year are drones.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And really, that's in the course of 6 weeks. Single video, all of a sudden, I saw several people on my Facebook timeline posting about the drones that they got for Christmas.
Yeah.
And these are not technical people, really.
Right.
These are just regular people who are I got my unmanned drone.
The Phantoms and
probably
the ones that hold the GoPro, they're $400.
Right. I did hear somebody talk about the one with the GoPro.
Yeah. Friend of mine just got one of those.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. It's funny, too, because when I have several friends from college who know that I have helicopters in my blood. And not actually.
Literally?
Little tiny.
I was going to say, that's a...
They're actually little nanomachines that are filtering my blood because my kidneys have failed long ago.
Right.
No, just kidding.
Yeah exactly. That's funny.
No, but one day, maybe.
That's funny.
We say it now, but in a year. Oh, I hope not. I hope it's not only 1 year. I hope it's more like three.
Maybe.
Five.
I don't know.
Who knows? But I got a bunch of IMs the week, last week, when Amazon released their thing talking about they want to start delivering packages with drones.
Yeah.
And one of my very good friends, a PhD physicist by the name of Nick Cummings. Hi, Nick, if you're listening. Who am I kidding? You're not listening.
He should be, though. He'd love this.
He would. He really would. We were roommates for years and good friends since then. And he called me or IM'd me the other day and said, I was actually surprised to hear this from anyone but you. I thought you would be the one to tell me, oh, check out this awesome shit that I'm doing with Amazon.
Yeah.
And he was disappointed that I was not working with Amazon on this. Because, frankly, I mean, I promise you, sometime in the last 50 episodes, I have mentioned the idea of delivering things with vertical takeoff.
Right.
Capable flight vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, this is something that I was thinking about in 2004.
Yep.
When I left college and went into the working world, trying to make a name for myself as an aerospace engineer.
Yeah.
Turns out I really am much better at being a software engineer, but that's a whole other conversation. So, I mean, there's been a lot of conversation about, drones, certainly in the last few weeks,
mm-hmm.
And with the NSA and with, just there's a lot more product out there now for the consumer. And now we're starting to get national press with 3D printing of guns and with drones being a big deal, and Obama having a couple of gaffes, unfortunately, about drones and, you know, drone policy. And it's like, well, you know, we really want to be able to fly them with impunity in our space and in any other space. And it's like, wait a minute. Why are you flying them here? And it's like a whole lot of controversy comes
Patriot
out of
Act by air.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, that's politically sensitive and, you know, there's a lot of things that are convenient now that were inconvenient then or vice versa. And, you know, I don't really want to get into too much politics. I think we've done a good job of avoiding politics for the last year, and I'd like to keep doing that.
Yes. Agreed.
And if you're really, really interested in hearing our actual political views unredacted, go back to those really early episodes.
That's right. You'll hear all that. Or come on down here to the First Wave Venture Center.
Yeah, and you'll hear it off the air.
Right.
Hopefully you
some
you
things
don't
are better off the
that.
Record.
Yeah. Off the record is good. Yeah. And if you want to hear all that, yeah, please come down and visit us. We'll talk your ear off about whatever you want to know. But
should make some predictions for the next year. I think. Mm. I think we should make some local predictions and some national and international predictions.
Okay. Let's start with when the first car will be purchased with Bitcoin on the East Coast. Or do you even want to say, like, which quarter of this year that will happen?
Okay. Let's start there.
And it's a trick question, because if you don't believe it ever will happen, then it's none of the above.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I'm a believer, so I'm going to say quarter two.
Yeah.
That is after March.
That's what I was going to say, was quarter two.
Okay. Well, we can both share it and just be both right.
I think that's...
We're both wrong.
I think... You know what? I might even say quarter three. I would have actually said earlier, had Bitcoin not just taken the huge hits that it's taken
lately. Remember though, we're talking about how... I mean, that's China. You can't...
Right.
Now, like, if we were saying, when will... Like, superlatives, when will... when will the first car be purchased in China with Bitcoin? Probably sometime after 2020.
But it's devalued the currency by half. And so I think that people are probably it's going to cool people off a little bit. Now, we'll see if that's true. But I think it's going to take through the first half of the year for things to kind of get sorted out. And I think it'll be third quarter, beginning of third quarter.
Now,
July or August.
There's another one. Will all of the Bitcoins there are currently, I mean, the upper bound on Bitcoins, there are approximately 21.5 million total possible Bitcoins that can be issued. right now, as of last week, I think we were at around 13 million. So just over half of the Bitcoin have been mined so far in only 4 years.
Yes.
Or 5 years. So... which is amazing that Bitcoin's been around that long and no one really knew about it until Bernanke said something amazing in Congress, or like in a congressional hearing. And suddenly it went from, what was it, 900 to 1,200 in a day?
Right.
Or something crazy. Yeah. And it stuck out. It stuck around at 1,200 for almost a week. And then it stabilized at 900 until the Chinese decided to make it illegal. And
yay, China.
Thanks a lot. No, I mean I'm thankful for that, because I mean that's good. It's like one more political thing to get out of the way.
Yeah.
But no, I what I'm thinking is whether or not the last mineable Bitcoin will be issued, like the last block to be available at all, will be issued this year.
No way.
No, you don't think so?
No way.
Have you seen how fast the
it's getting harder and harder to mine them.
Right, I know, the difficulty is going up, but...
I get it, but it will hardware scale faster than the difficulty, and I think the answer is no.
I think the answer is yes, because right now, the... wow, that's like the fifth thing we disagree on.
Yeah.
Takes us a year to get to number five.
That's right.
We disagree.
Yeah, no, I think there's no possible... And in fact, I think it's reaching to think that it would happen next year.
Even, you mean by 2015?
Yeah.
The end of 2015, you think it won't happen there?
No.
Okay, well... I think it'll happen before the end of 2014.
Okay.
And
if it does,
the doubling time on the difficulty is less than a month. That's amazing. When they first talked about what like what the doubling time was supposed to, I mean, like what the difficulty level is supposed to grow at, the rate that it's supposed to grow at. It's supposed to increase like once or twice a year.
Right.
It's been doubling every month.
Yes.
So now it's at over a million. I mean, yeah, over a billion. And the next, like that means it's going to be at like twice as hard, twice as much work you have to do to mine a Bitcoin by the end of this month.
This certainly sounds like you're supporting my point. Tell me again how this supports yours.
Well, no, what I'm saying is that the reason that the doubling time is going up, I mean, sorry, the reason the difficulty is going up so fast is because there's a lot of people getting in to try and mine. And the more people who mine, the faster we will get to the end of that. So it's a competing species problem. You have too many people trying to jump in, that's raising the difficulty like wow, and then the Chinese thing to cool off the market.
Yep.
So it's hard to predict it, but I mean, I'm glad we're doing it because it's fun.
Yeah, exactly.
And eventually, and maybe.
Doesn't mean anything.
No, it's meaningless. Because neither of us, as far as I know, owns any Bitcoin.
No, that's true. That's true. So, okay. So, that, okay. There's another one.
All right. What else? Alloy. Do you think alloy will be superseded with titanium next by the end of this year?
Wow.
Or maybe that's like titanium 4.0. Do you think they'll reach a 4.0
reach
version 4.0
this year? Yes.
Yeah?
I think they will.
I think so too.
I know they've started on 1.4 of alloy. They just started on it.
Oh, yeah? Wait, didn't you say they just released a new, like 3.2 came out?
Right, titanium 3.2.
Oh, but alloy 1.3.
Alloy 1.3.1.
0.1. Oh, right, because 1.3
was... 1.3.3, sorry.
Well, but 1.3 being the major thing.
So. Yeah.
Tynex won't come out until maybe sometime this year, we think.
So, yeah, I think that it will that will happen this year.
What about number of developers actively using titanium?
I don't know what it is today.
It's over 1,000, but not a lot more than that. At least that's what I can get from their website. They talk about, you know, there's over 1,000 developers using it.
Gotcha.
Now.
I think they get to 3,500 by the end of the year.
Mm. Okay, so it'll almost quadruple. I'm going to go with 3,000.
Okay.
These are almost unmeasurable numbers, so it's hard for either of us to be right or wrong.
No, that's the best kind of thing to predict. Something that can't be proven.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Taste filling and less, like, or taste great and less filling.
Taste filling?
No.
Taste filling.
This is the weird alternates of the Punnett square?
Yeah. What's inside that candy bar? It's filled with taste filling. It's just a kind of a sludge that just has, it has taste, but nobody knows what the taste is. It's just taste.
It's filling with taste.
What would generic taste like?
MSG.
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 Perfect. MSG. Now I want Chinese food.
There it is.
So,
and that's our level of racism for
let's
today.
Let's see what.
Just kidding.
Let's see.
What else?
What else do I think would happen on a national or international stage? In technology.
Do we have to be national? We can do local.
Let's do local for a second.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is going to be the breakout company this year in Tampa Bay? Breakout tech company in Tampa Bay this year.
Well, I think
can't say drawer.
You and I both want it to be drawer.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, of all the companies here that are doing something interesting.
And this isn't just wave companies. Any company in town. Mm. Any tech company in town.
Okay. I don't know. Clarity Services is doing really well.
Yeah.
So they could grow substantially.
Acquisitions. Let's talk about who's getting acquired this year. Who's getting acquired?
Who? Who's getting acquired?
Oh, local.
No,
Tampa
we're
Bay.
Talking local. So
Tampa Bay local.
The Peanut Gallery has suggested Block, how would we describe
the
that?
Modular cell phone system.
Phone blocks.
Phone blocks
is that one, or unless there's another one.
I think
that
so. I think that's
not
a, that's
not,
the one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Blocks with no C, BLOKS. We've talked about it before.
That's right.
Breakout companies for Tampa Bay. Man, that's a hard one. I really think Shoe Track has a good shot.
Yeah.
They have a solid product and an excellent team and, I mean, a market that's just begging for technology.
Yep.
They have some really good trademarks. So once they build out that that market, and I mean, it's an aching market.
Mm-hmm.
WeView has a decent chance to make something big. They have a consumer product, which is what's going to get that virality. Can't really get viral shit with a B2B app.
Not very easily, no.
Doesn't work that way. I mean, you do in the sense that you get, if you can get some B2B2C dynamics going where the business that you're selling to sells it to their customers.
Yep.
And you get a chunk of that, then there's some value there.
I.e. best strategy ever, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty common strategy. I would say I think at least of the wave companies, I think Shoe Track and WeView have the highest chances. Mama Bear, I think, is going to do really well this year.
Yeah.
They've got some really great products that they're, you know, kicking out the door. Subscription products, you know, so they can start to, you know, get closer to that profitability mark.
Yeah.
Locally, I mean, one of the reasons I say WeView is because they're working with Haneke Design, and Haneke does really good work.
They have good partnerships.
You know, they're good. Yeah, exactly. They're very stable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard to say. There's a lot of companies, too. I mean, I hate to say it. You know, sorry to everyone else that I haven't named, but, you know, I'm sure I'm missing something. There's also the elephant in the room that will be discussed off air or not at all.
Yeah.
But we'll move on from that.
You know what this made me think of? You know what I want? Is because this sounds to me like horse racing a little bit, and betting on horses.
Yeah.
I want to figure out a way to do a startup betting game. You can take like local startups.
Wait, isn't that like Kickstarter though?
Well, kind of.
Or
Pledge Your Bets also, by the way, has a good shot this year. I think
you think
sort of really getting a lot of growth.
I don't know much about them.
They've got a good product. I think they have some very interesting strategic direction, and I think that if they're able to execute on the strategies that they have in place, there could be a lot of growth very quickly in that arena. But I'd really like to see, almost like a stock market game. Do you remember playing the stock market game as a kid in school?
I believe yeah.
So like basically it's like it was a game, but you played it like with real stocks, but you didn't have money, you had like points and blah, all this kind of stuff, right?
I actually had that was my very first startup. It's related to this. It was called Stock Golf.
Oh, there you go.
Which you would have been able to find at stockgolf.com, but we forgot to renew the domain, and they stole it out from underneath us. Wah. Yeah, shame on me.
Yeah.
we built a product where...
Gotcha.
Similar to that.
So I'd like to do the same thing for local startups. Well, so you put all local startups in, and somehow...
I could probably build that in a week.
The thing is, the hard part is quantifying progress, right? Like,
right.
So you'd have to do that... Well, I don't know. Maybe people buy and sell shares. Basically, you do it exactly like
you do with like Bitcoin.
You sign up for the game,
virtual currency instead.
Yeah, and like you just sign up and you get to buy shares in local tech companies, and like based on how they're doing and their quarterly reports and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way for the community to sort of that would actually be really fun.
Yeah. Well, you know, all the work that we did for Stock Golf would easily apply here, and you know.
Yeah.
Seeing as I built Stock Off in 1999, I maybe have gotten a little better at it since then.
Yeah, and you know who else would probably be really into this is Matt Branton.
Matt Branton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's an exchanges kind of guy.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was the CIO of an exchange.
Right.
York,
so. Yeah.
So I saw his resume the other day. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, pretty legit.
No wonder he has a Carrera that he's just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I know. And he's so unassuming about
it,
too.
No, he is very, 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 very humble.
Yeah. And Matt will be leaving us in 2014. That's sad.
That's the first time hearing that.
Oh, you
I did
heard
not
that?
Know.
Oh, uh-oh. Yeah. Like in the next month or so.
Oh, no. Is it because his wife is out of school and he's moving somewhere?
His wife wants to move to Seattle.
Oh.
And so he is also doing that.
Soon. Boo.
Yeah. I've tried to talk him out of it. I've told him how horrible a place Seattle is, but he won't listen to me.
It's just rainy.
It's just... It sucks.
I mean, it rains here, but when it stops raining, it's nice. When it stops raining there, it's just cold.
It just sucks. It doesn't stop raining. What do you mean it stops raining there? It doesn't stop raining there. It's like 365 degrees.
No, 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 no.
365 days of rain.
No, no, I meant when you go indoors.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
Then it only rains indoors like once a day.
That's right. For 18 hours, that's it. So anyway.
That's a shame.
But I would, that would be fun. Maybe in my spare time I'll build that.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, we could probably do that pretty quickly. Because what we did for stock golf was every day was a hole on a course. So we did a month. Okay. And it was 18. You get 20, roughly 20 days, 20 business days a month.
Right.
And so we did 18 holes per month. It was one, you know, each hole was a business day. That's when the market is open. You know, market opens, you have chosen a set of stocks as your golf clubs, and you have a golf bag at the beginning of the day. And at the end of the day, you know, like you keep those same clubs through the day. And then at the end of the day, we do computations based on, you know, all the statistical metrics of all the players and everything like that.
Yeah.
And so you get, you know, you fit into the Gaussian distribution somewhere. I'm making hand motions like anybody but Akira can see that. And there's a 2 over par, 2 under par. You know, if you get like on average, the average of like within one standard deviation of the mean in terms of percentage gains on everybody's stocks, like how the market did, then you get a par.
Yep.
If you do really well, you get 2 under par. If you do really poorly, you get 2 over par.
Yep.
On the day. And at the end of the month, whoever has, you know, the lowest score wins. And they win a prize of some kind. And, of course, in this case, we don't actually have to have a prize unless we can get some sponsorships with maybe, like, Creative Loafing or somebody like that.
Oh, yeah.
We could reinvigorate this game. I mean, it only took me a few months to write it the first time. That means I could probably write it now in a week.
So yeah.
All the math and everything is fresh in my mind in the sense that I've done it before. I
just put advertising all over it.
And then we just slap it with all kinds of advertising.
Yeah.
Just bury it with advertising.
Bury it with that. Where's the interface? Yeah. Underneath all those ads.
Yeah, you actually have to click on the ad.
It's a blanket of ads.
To open to show. Up. It's a mosaic.
Off. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
A little curl effect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, we could do it. And, you know, I love it because there's all these companies here, especially with the Wave. It's a natural fit.
Yeah.
There's all these companies and everybody's publishing their stuff through the Wave so that the Wave can get some publicity and, you know, validate the business model that we're going for with the accelerator. You know, we have a federal grant that we have to submit regular statistics to them. So those statistics could be used to, you know, drive the game.
Yep. Wouldn't it be
funny?
I think
that would be great.
This actually would be like the ultimate meta play. Because like if you created a company to track the companies in Wave and that company got acquired, it would like be this bizarre meta company acquisition.
Yeah. Awesome, though.
Which would be badass. Mm-hmm. That would be so much fun. I want to play that now. We should have like a Wave hackathon and like all of us do that one weekend. Get all the companies in and just like whoosh, just build the thing. Of course, then who would own what, but whatever.
Who cares? We all own it.
Fair to say that
open
two of us would own it and no one else would, but
yeah, we just open source it.
Yeah, I guess we could do that.
Yeah. But no, it's there's a lot of stuff that's that we could do. You know, I think we talk about that every week. Like, oh look, there's 3 more ideas. Get in line.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I know it.
But yeah, so let's see. We have some predictions.
Other predictions. Where will the Tampa Bay Wave be located next year?
Well, that's an easy one. I'm going to say still
same
here.
Same place.
Okay. Yeah. By the end of this year, there has to be a sustainability plan. I know nothing about how far away that plan is, how close or realistic that might be.
Yep.
I feel pretty confident. There's a lot of companies, you know, that have signed up and have, you know, joined the accelerator and are getting great, great value from that and, you know, growing. Some of them aren't growing so well. Some of them not growing at all. Some of them may not even be here next month. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, there's a lot of value that we've built.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the second year, I think, is honing that strategy and watching as companies start to succeed more and start to contribute more back to the Wave, you know, growth of employment. And that means more, you know, per month charges to the Wave for those people, you know, being a part of the co-working environment here and just, you know, growing everything more companies means more revenue for the Wave, you know, because we're getting, you know, some revenue from that. Yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, it's going to grow, and we're all going along with this, this experiment, which has been a really, really fun experiment, and we all want it to succeed. And we want the companies that are a part of this whole community to thrive. The ones that are, you know, that have viable products, you know, we want them to thrive, and the ones that don't, we want them to die and, you know, give back to the earth, as it were.
Melt into the,
you know,
whatever.
Just like it's like a digital cornfield. You harvest the corn that's viable, the corn that's not, you leave on the stalk, and it
the squirrels
falls
come and eat it.
Onto the ground and rots. And the rot is what provides the biological materials for the next crop. Mm. So
the
I think
rot
that's
attracts
all.
Snails, and snails hurt your plants.
Oh.
Mm. Sorry. Is there a vendetta against snails because they ruined one of my plants in my backyard?
Oh,
but
no.
Sorry. I just, all this talk about rotting plants.
Yeah.
Got to me.
well,
no, that's all right.
I'm sure there's a snail metaphor in here somewhere. But,
yeah.
No, I think, you know, there's a lot of great things, and we're going to see how this goes. I love this space. I love working here. I think there's a wonderful atmosphere of, you know, congeniality and wanting to help everyone. We all want everyone else to succeed, and we want to make sure that they have the best, you know, perspective they can get. If we say to them, dude, your business model is hopelessly flawed and you will never make money. There is no possible way that anyone will agree to, you know, pay you the money for the thing that you're providing, you know. So maybe you need to either pivot or stop. Or go to an ad model and hope that ads are enough to keep up your infrastructure costs. or we say to them, wow, you know, this is great, and we think your business model is, you know, really good, and here's ways you could improve it. Here's ways you could, you know, expand on your feature set to give more value to the customer. Whatever they are, there's a lot of people here that are willing to, and even eager to help each other to succeed. And I think that energy is infectious.
Yeah,
and it cannot be overlooked.
I agree. Okay. Well, I agree.
So that's local. Let's talk about national.
Okay.
Any big breakout companies that we've seen, you know, over this year, kind of come up, or even just things we might have just recently heard of? I know there's a handful that I know of that I think will really have a big, I mean, just purely based on the viral success of their marketing strategies.
Soylent. One of them.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay. I think
Soylent, you know,
Coin.
What?
Coin.
You know, Coin.
Coin is really the maybe. One that I think has
I think
a,
if they can deliver. I still don't trust that their product's actually going to work,
yeah,
to be honest.
You don't
with
think?
You.
Okay.
I don't.
I want them to succeed.
I want them to succeed.
I
want
to buy
some. I think it's me too.
I want to have one card in my wallet to rule them all.
Yeah, I'm quite skeptical, but I don't have any reason to be skeptical. It's just a gut feeling. But so hopefully that'll be fine. Okay. Soylent will probably be bought by Kraft, and there'll be like Soylent mac and cheese by the end of the year, which will be great.
And for the record, let's just give the radio listeners a little talk about what these things are.
Oh, yeah. So Coin is a single card that you program all your other cards into, the numbers, and then you use this one card that can be swiped at point-of-sale systems. And I think it works without any additional hardware needed at the point-of-sale.
Yeah. It just has it's like a switchable card. You press a button on the card, directly on the face of the card. It tells you the title of the card that you scanned into it, and you just like swipe a thing through, just like a Square reader with your iPhone or Android device, and it can program the card. So you select whichever card you want to do, your, you know, bank debit or your business credit, whatever it is, select that and then swipe, and it magnetically conveys the correct information.
It actually seems like such a brilliant thing for credit card fraud.
It's amazing. I mean, I'm amazed that no one came up with this, to be honest.
But, you know, it makes fraud so much easier.
You mean it makes fraud easier to perpetrate?
Oh, yeah.
I wonder. But, you know, that's going to get down to those issues of, you know, yeah, now that I think about it, as I'm saying, like, I'm trying to say this out loud, but I'm interrupting myself in my head going, yeah, except for, you know, how those hotel card greeter things work. Yeah, it's going to be a whole lot easier for them to do that.
Yeah, right.
Because they just take your card out of your wallet and swipe in through their card.
Yeah.
And now suddenly your card is on their coin.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Or they'll or they'll just go buy 100,000 cards online on the darknet, and they'll just put them all in there, and now they have a swipeable card with that number.
Possibly.
Yeah.
But so then so Soylent. Anyway. What's Soylent?
Soylent is the food to end all food. Well, I don't know if you would call it food, the substance to end all food. It is supposedly the penultimate nutritional item. It is essentially ooze.
Ooze.
A tube of goop that looks like this beige snake. Mm. And you just squeeze it into your mouth, and it's all.
I'm sorry, I can't. What are you describing again?
And everybody gets very happy, and everybody, yes. The bad thing.
Do you feel relaxed after?
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly. Clears your mind. That
I wish you could see the audience right now.
Yeah, writhing uncomfortably.
It's a palpable, palpable experience.
So it's this very bizarre.
Visceral, really,
it's this very bizarre stuff, and there's a lot of people who are really interested in this, that because they don't necessarily like eating, which I think is very strange.
I for one love eating.
Yeah, it's actually my favorite activity, next to drinking, which basically all go in, you know, the same category. but evidently, what it does, so the way Soylent comes, how do I say this in the most tactful, polite, and non-disgusting way possible? The way that Soylent comes in and exits, its appearance doesn't really change.
Mm. So you get the beige snake at the end, too.
Yes, which, from what I understand, is a very disconcerting sight the first time or two.
You're like,
even
the guy
who created it was like, oh, and then this happened.
Wait, but does that mean it doesn't dissolve? Like, it doesn't biodegrade in your body? It just comes in and
it's very
dumps
strange.
Off some nutrients and then leaves, but it looks the same.
I think
at the
so.
End?
Yes, it's very odd.
That sounds like an SD card, but for food. It's like, here's some digital food, so we'll just copy that off the card
that's
into your body. And
right,
then
and the card comes back out so you can use it again.
Back out,
now, I don't know that you would want to use it again, but I guess theoretically you
No, but maybe you recharge it like a battery.
You put it back in the tube, and...
you take the stuff, and you put that in the ground, and then out of that comes...
A Soylent tree.
It absorbs all the nutrients from
right.
it, and then you eat that.
Oh,
that sounds
this is
awesome.
Terrible. Okay. I'm going to redact my statement about Soylent actually being a breakout
company
this year.
Yeah, you're going to back that back out.
The more and more I think about this situation, the more I think that this general repulsiveness might prevent it from gaining steam.
But, so you're saying that you recycled the argument and it came out the same at the end?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Any other companies you think might... might stand to make a huge impact this year?
Golly, there's bound to be quite a few. Huh?
I know.
Blocks. The phone blocks.
The phone blocks. Yeah.
Phone blocks.
We've already covered that.
Again, are those even shipped yet?
No.
No.
No,
okay.
Not as far as
that. Are they set for shipping this year?
Again, I don't really know. So, maybe. I know that...
That's cool.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll have to fact check that.
We will. We will.
Wait, that would be the first time we ever did that.
Yeah. Wait. Do we fact check that?
I don't know if we've ever fact checked anything.
It's hard to believe that I can't think of any companies right now. You know what I think is going to get bigger this year, actually? Wearables.
Wearables. Well, we had a whole episode on wearables.
Fitbit might end up getting bought this year.
You think?
I don't know.
By who, though? Because Nike already has a competing
product.
Nike has
product. Reebok. Or
Reebok
Asics,
does not.
Or
maybe like Adidas or something like that.
Yeah. Adidas.
Interesting. I know that Jawbone is working on the, you know, improving the Up yep. product, and that's also an yep. One of those acquisition possibilities.
Do you think we'll see more by mail box things, Birch Box, Bark Box, Orgy Box, whatever we're seeing now?
That last one?
Orgy Box?
I've not heard Orgy of this one.
There is like a sex toy one. I forget what it's called, but
interesting.
Either way, like, so this become a big trend this year, I think. All these little boxes of things.
Right. So that's,
I know,
like,
Birch Box is huge. Like
Dollar
right?
Shave Club kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, Dollar Shave Club type of deal. Micropayment goods, right? By
right.
mail.
Okay. And like Sephora.
Right? Yeah. Does Sephora do that too?
That's the one that they send you the glasses and you pick what you like and send them back, or no?
No, Warby Parker.
Oh, that's Warby Parker.
Warby
okay.
Parker.
What was the Sephora thing then?
Sephora, I think, lets you put together a monthly box of shit for like
okay.
a fixed price, maybe
something
like that.
So that
it's like Birchbox, but like where you have control Birchbox. Over it. Because like Birchbox, right. you can't control what you get.
Right.
You just get what you get. Right.
Somebody pitched a lunchbox idea, or sometime at I think one of the pizza and pitch nights for a startup weekend.
Okay.
Or
there's a few snack ones bus, already one that have Graze is
there's
one
cereal.
Yeah.
There's like the make your own cereal, and they'll like service like cereal as a service.
Oh yeah,
they'll send awesome. You cereal. This is genius.
Yep.
This came out of a startup weekend.
You know, I wonder July, how
I think.
Far we can take this. Now, I said this a couple years ago, and
it's a scalability model issue.
Well,
that's the hard part, I think.
It is at the company level, but flip it and say, how many of these type of companies can the market support?
Oh.
I mean,
so like how many different kinds right. of products are there before they start to consolidate?
I predicted a couple years ago, and I was wrong terribly, that we would end up with subscription fatigue. That people would start to get tired of these little plinkety subscriptions.
Have you met digital currency?
I know.
We just talked about that earlier.
Yeah.
Do you know how many digital currencies there are now?
Oh, there's a ton.
It's like 1,000.
Oh, yeah. Right.
It's insane.
Oh, yeah.
Look at any of these pools that help people mine those
yeah.
digital currencies. There are hundreds of different currencies.
Right.
So, I mean, the idea that people would have subscription fatigue. Yeah, I mean, it's just like the, what's it, the, the number of people you can know effectively.
A Dunbar number.
Dunbar number, thank you.
Yep.
We just talked about that like 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
It's like that. You can, you know, there's a saturation point where you can't really have more than a certain number of subscriptions before you get jaded and tired
yeah.
of having so many fucking subscriptions.
Right.
You don't know what to do with them all. And then, of course, then there's another business that comes out of that for like a coin style thing where you keep all your subscriptions in one card or something.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know there are businesses like
that. Oh, certainly, yeah.
There are plenty of businesses out there trying to do consolidation of rewards cards.
Yeah.
No one has got that right yet.
You know, another company that might get bought this year, actually, Unroll Me.
Ah. Oh, because they're the unsubscribe one, right?
Right. I could see somebody like...
Yeah.
I
don't know, maybe...
Well, I could see somebody like Gmail.
I was going to say Google.
Buy them.
Google
right?
just bought Boston Dynamics.
Uh-huh.
Which
right.
was one of the companies I was going to mention as
yeah.
being an acquisition target, except they got to them in 2013.
Yep, damn it.
Can't do it for 2014 because it
damn
just
it.
Got bought just
yeah.
last week.
So, yes, I think that they...
What about Double Robotics?
Double Robotics.
Do you know them?
I've heard of them.
They're the telepresence robot that's built on an iPad. So it's an iPad on a Segway, basically.
Yeah,
and they've been getting an enormous amount of press.
I think it's
everybody's
I think it,
really excited
I think it's
about
gimmick
it.
Press. I just don't think it's
you
a,
think so.
Yeah, I just don't
that's
know that it's. Yeah, I just don't see it as a product that. Nah, I don't know.
It has a niche. It has a market. I know it does.
I don't know what. Explain the market.
Think of so. Let's say you have you are a purchasing. Agent, your job is to purchase things from suppliers.
Okay.
Maybe you're an engineering logistics coordinator, and your job is to acquire or you know, like find suppliers who can manufacture certain goods for you.
Okay.
For your product, and you're going to integrate them into a final consumer product and sell that. Now, this is very big business. There's tons, I mean, probably millions of engineers in the world
yeah.
whose sole job is to do that shit. So, when you need to interview the plant managers. You want to observe the operations of
right.
a manufacturing facility.
Yeah.
But that manufacturing facility is 10,000 miles away.
Yes.
You don't want to fly, you know, 3 days out of your way, you know, $5,000 worth of flights and hotels and mm-hmm. all this just to go and tour one facility for a day
right.
to get a feel for how viable that supplier would be for you.
Yeah.
So it would be much better if you could just ship them a double robotics thing. You buy it, you ship it to them. It's $1,000, $2,000, whatever it is.
Right.
You ship it, you do your telepresence thing. It walks all over their sales floor. You get an elevator, you go down, whatever. You are there as mm-hmm. a robot through this double robotics telepresence device. And you get to see everything you need to see,
yeah.
talk to whoever you need to talk to. It's a little awkward for them because they're talking to an iPad on a stick, but
right.
they're at least, you get the feeling of being there, seeing them, see how they operate, and you know, even see them in a sort of awkward scenario where they're talking to a machine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're talking to you through a machine. But I think that kind of stuff is really useful.
Now,
things like museums you're not going to go to unless you travel there. Yeah.
Right.
Let me rent a double robotics unit to go and travel the Metropolitan Museum of Art in MoMA.
Mm.
Or the Met, I'm sorry, in New York. You're like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, that was one of the things that they really wanted to do with double.
The way that might work, and actually this would be a brilliant thing if it could work, but it would probably be technically impossible, is...
Try me.
If you could combine what Double Robotics is doing with Sphere.
Yeah.
So that as you're on the robot, you are looking around with full 360.
So that's Galileo. Galileo is a company that produces a product called... is the product called Motor? Whichever it is. M-O-T-R-R.
Yeah.
Motor. M-O-T-R-R. Okay. M-O-T-R-R. They have partnered with Sphere to produce...
Oh.
This exact thing, except instead of a telepresence thing, it's a take a photo of a spherical place, and all you have to do is set this thing down and put your you plug your phone into it, and it makes this it just wiggles your phone around in a circle and takes a spherical photo. I think that kind of thing could easily be incorporated into something like Double mm-hmm. Robotics to give you that snapshot. The trick is going to be the video aspect.
Right.
Doing 3D video, and I mean spherical video, is a very, very significant challenge.
Yes.
Spherical photos are something now that there are a handful of manufacturers that have tech that will do that. There's even this Storyball thing I saw. It's not called Storyball, although I think that's a better name, where it's like a 100 megapixel ball that has like 10 or 15 or 20 cameras on it.
Yeah.
And they all point out in a spherical coordination or configuration. You just toss it to somebody and you can toss it up in the air and it'll take video of every frame along the path of the trajectory.
I see.
And for each frame it takes a spherical photo, so you can make video with it, sort of. You can sort of toss it to somebody and it's trying to collect all this information as fast as it can.
Yeah.
All these cameras, and it's collecting a spherical picture. But as soon as you wrap your hand around it, obviously you're going to block most of the cameras on the thing, and you got fingerprints and all that stuff. So it's a tricky thing.
Difficult, right?
Unless you have an articulated motor deal that would allow you to use fewer cameras and move around in a spherical thing. So yeah, I think that's an opportunity that Charles Armstrong, the CEO of Sphere, would be. I don't want to say he would be a fool to ignore that, but almost.
Yeah, I mean, because
it's an opportunity.
If you get spherical video working well, it's sort of Katie bar the door.
Yeah, I mean,
the security systems now are changed forever.
Yeah, and that was a big thing that I proposed to Charles, years ago when we were building Tourist, which evolved into Sphere. He's really focused on, the entertainment aspect, so there's plenty of opportunities there. I think he's missing an opportunity in security, or maybe he's just got that in the long plan. I really don't know.
Yep.
We don't talk about product strategy anymore because now I'm just a shareholder and don't really have any responsibility.
Right.
Which is nice.
It's true. All the upside, none of the trauma.
Yeah. No, we did all the drama early.
Oh, well, now this is interesting. Here's a story. Coming back to Bitcoin for a second. Overstock.com reportedly plans to accept Bitcoin in 2014.
Well, son of a bitch.
Now, when Amazon finally starts accepting Bitcoin? Well, okay, let's talk about that. Yeah. Does Amazon accept Bitcoin by the end of 2014?
Well, by the end of 2013, maybe. Not likely.
2014.
2014? If Overstock is doing it by the end of...
I would say yes.
Amazon, yeah.
No doubt about it.
They'll accept it because, yeah. I mean, it's status quo. Again, they're going to have to.
Yep.
Unless they want to get...
That's
Well, I don't know. Because you think about it. How do you... Let's talk about the long con here for Amazon.
Okay.
If they're talking now about delivering things with a UAV, with a drone, is what they're, I guess, colloquially called now.
Right.
If they're doing that, then maybe they would be open to the idea of having some kind of system that allows you to to validate the transaction.
Yeah,
with the UAV, so you include the UAV in the signing process, so it has.
Oh, I see.
And I'm sure again, Matt Branton would have many things to talk about with this because he pretty much built a all of this minus the UAV he's already got with CoinLock. That's at CoinLock.com for anyone who wants to check that out.
Yep.
So I think maybe he'll sell that to Amazon.
That'd be awesome.
That would be great for him.
Yeah.
Sad for us.
Yes.
Well, in the sense that we don't have anything to sell to Amazon.
Right.
But no, I think there's a decent chance for that, especially if they're trying to get this UAV delivery system out this year. I think that's their long-term strategy. They're not really necessary. I mean, obviously they want to get it out as soon as possible, but they want it to also be like effective.
Yeah.
You can't deliver a UAV to the wrong address or like it gets caught on your... You know, wherever it is, however that works, you know, it seems like it needs to be.
There's quite a bit of
sensitive. There's going to be some certain alpha and beta going on there.
Yep.
You know, UAVs crashing into each other, crashing into buildings, crashing into stuff with your stuff, and then dropping that stuff on cars, and now the cars crash and cause accidents, and now there's legal liability and blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm. All of these things have to be considered before they could really effectively satisfy that.
Yeah.
That what is obviously an aching market.
Mm-hmm.
Although it makes me wonder how expensive it would be realistically to deliver things with a UAV. I mean, I've tried to think about how much that would be. I mean, we were developing hybrid electric helicopters 10 years ago when I was in college, and a hybrid is great because you can turn off the engine and it can fly quiet, which is great for, you know, certain military applications, but nobody cares about quiet flying for this. This would be more like
effective. I think it all depends, though. Depends on how loud is loud.
Well, yeah, but I mean, loud. So, fun fact, the volume of a helicopter rotor system is, the sound pressure is... linearly proportional to the eighth power of the tip velocity.
Mm.
So as the tip velocity goes up, so does the sound by a factor of eight, or like an exponent of, or like tip velocity to the eighth power.
Yeah, right.
So,
right.
Those little rotors are very small, but because they're small, they have to rotate really fast. So really big, like that thwop, thwop, thwop sound you hear from... like police helicopters and traffic copters, that sort of stuff. You don't hear that with UAVs and drones because they're so much smaller, but the tip velocities are much higher because those things are going like 6,000 RPM.
Right.
And
it's a
huge, full size helicopters they're generally like 300 to 500 RPM.
Yeah. Right.
So, I mean, we're talking like an order of magnitude faster. So that means, you know, whatever, 10 times more to the eighth power, so much louder. But again, though, they're smaller and they're more agile, so it's harder to say, really. But anyway, that fun fact brought to you by Who Fucking Cares.
Oh, by the way, they're a major sponsor of our podcast.
Yeah, the only sponsor so far. I'm looking at you, Knob Creek.
That's right. Oh, yeah, let's say this. In 2014, do we predict that Distilled will have bourbon again on the show?
Mm. Seems like a pretty solid bet, considering we've had the last month. We've only had beer and maybe one where we had bourbon.
Yeah.
Such a fucking tragedy.
It really is. And two episodes where we had nothing.
I know. And today we are only having a beer each. It's a goddamn
weak
Greek
in our,
tragedy.
weak in our old age. So,
yeah.
Trying to think of what else would be possible this year. Yeah, I think Bitcoin is still going to be a big storyline this year. I think we're going to see more and more with autonomous things.
Autonomous systems in general.
Systems in general. You know, I mean,
like
obviously
Internet
drones
of Things.
And exactly. Internet of Things is going to become a lot bigger this year.
Wearables.
Things like Nest. Nest could get bought.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good one.
stuff like that. Wearables are going to become a much bigger piece of the market this year.
Yeah, and we talked about the Lily Pad Arduino
several weeks ago. Yep.
I think that was the Halloween episode.
Yep.
And, you know, there's a lot of stuff. SparkFun is doing a lot of stuff with that. And, you know, there's with the Arduino and the makerspace, there's a lot of people getting interested in these things. And the more we get kids involved, the more we get, you know, young girls involved in these kinds of things, the better off the world will be, because right now, essentially, we're telling kids, especially girls, like, you should be reliant on your husband for income. Come on, guys. It's not 1950.
Yeah.
Like, women in engineering, the numbers have been growing just astronomically over the last 10 or 15 years. When I was in college, there were like 4 girls in all my engineering classes.
Yeah.
And now I hear, you know, I think as a testament to the work that, you know, Lilypad brings to the table, they're inspirational, and I'm not going to say they alone are, you know, driving this stuff, but they are a beacon for any other, you know, institution who wants to get girls you know, involved in technology, which is really just sorely lacking. And frankly, I mean, I grew up in a family full of women. I only have one uncle, so, you know, I had a lot of feminine perspective in my life, and, you know, working in corporate environments and, you know, high stress environments, it really is important to have that female perspective, that energy, the yin to balance the yang. You know, without that energy, we are doomed to repeat our past mistakes. And so I think it's really exciting to see how women have, you know, come to a very, like, almost like they're really getting a lot of press on the national stage about, you know, women as CEOs, women as PhDs, and, you know, influences in what is otherwise a very male-dominated world in technology.
Yeah, so, right. Yeah,
I'm really excited about that. I'm really excited about, you know, being involved in any kind of, you know, outreach and education programs for women and girls to get into this space. I've even toyed with the idea of approaching the folks over at International Academy of Design and Technology, IADT, about teaching, you know, wearable technologies to their students,
because
you know, they're a design school, and I mean, that's what they do. So
yeah.
I would love to teach that.
That'd be cool.
I would also love to teach titanium. So I mean, there's a lot of things about this that I would love.
Yeah,
but I think that's going to be a really positive influence.
It will be.
I'm really happy to see that it's happening,
because
it's so long overdue.
Yeah, and I think it's just further indicative of a trend that we're going to see year over year, especially this year as well, is we're going to see more and more diversification in general in this field that we call technology, and especially sort of what we've always thought of as sort of web tech and consumer tech. Those of us who have been doing this for a long time, and for up until really recently, it was basically building apps and stuff in browsers and phones, phones just in the past few years. But I think that we're going to see a further accelerated component where we have colleagues and friends and even ourselves who are working in environments that don't even involve screens anymore.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the new tech that we're going to see. And different new people coming in, more women obviously in the field.
Fresh perspective.
People coming from lots more diverse backgrounds into the field and that kind of thing. It's going to be really good. It's going to make an exciting place to be over the next year, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And that'll do it for this week, folks. So, thanks for listening. We really appreciate y'all, and have yourselves a lovely, lovely new year. We will see you in 2014.
Adios, guys.
Thanks for listening.